I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to come straight out and say it. There's a section in today's podcast talking about the vegan community, the hardcore vegans, coming from the Sculpted Vegan, just to give context to this, that is probably one of my favorite sections ever from a podcast. So I'm just going to leave it at that for now. So you're going to have to listen to the podcast to hear what Kim says. But it's amazing. I was just smiling and laughing. I literally had to put my hand over the mic because it's like one of the best rants ever. But introduction to today's episode with my guest, Kim Constable. Those of you maybe following Kim on social media, she is the Sculpted Vegan on Instagram with nearly 250,000 followers. She puts out amazing content around building muscle, being a plant-based bodybuilder, around business, around family, around relationships. She talks on a wide range of topics. And today's podcast, we were able to focus in and dial in on some of those topics. This was such an enjoyable conversation. Sometimes when I'm recording an episode, it feels like the time just flies by, where we've recorded for an hour and it felt like 5 minutes, and this was one of these episodes, so I hope it feels the same to you listening back. So Kim, the Sculpted Vegan, is someone who can talk very in-depth and widely on lots of different topics. She's very well-read and is very self-aware on what her personal interests are. So she can kind of talk anything from business to fitness to health to vegan to building confidence to dealing with fear. And we touch on all of them in today's episode. Some of my favorite moments, some of my favorite moments from today's episode is her aha moment. So the I have no bum moment that led her to her fitness journey. So those of you who are new to Kim's content, you won't have heard this story. I actually heard it on a podcast with Johnny Dumas on Entrepreneur on Fire, where I came across Kim first. And I loved the story, and I'm so glad that she went into it at the beginning of this podcast. We also talked about building self-awareness and how that can help you with your relationships, either with your kids, if you've got kids, with your partner, with your family, or even just with yourself, and how being self-aware and how you handle situations can be a very useful tool for dealing with fear or any anxieties that you have when making decisions. We talked about going plant-based and building muscle while being on a plant-based diet. So I delved in and asked Kim what her actual eating looks like, which is very interesting for anyone looking to build muscle on a plant-based diet. And my favorite section, which is a combination of talking about the vegan community mixed with what is the single biggest myth in all of fitness. That's at the very end of today's episode. And it is a rant / value bomb explosion that Kim goes off and speaks with such passion. And if I could pull out that whole section and just make a clip of it, I think it would provide a lot of value to people. So the biggest single myth in all of fitness. So I'll leave the introduction at that. This was such an enjoyable conversation. I loved it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And without further ado, here is today's episode with Kim Constable on becoming the Sculpted Vegan, parenting, building self-awareness, and being consistent. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Kim Constable. Kim is a homeschooling mom of four and founder of D Yoga Talks and The Sculpted Vegan. Kim's entrepreneurial journey began after her fourth child was born. Keen to find an income she could earn around homeschooling and caring for her kids, she started several companies, all of which failed, before finally deciding to embrace the thing she was truly passionate about and create a business around it. Kim trained first as a yoga teacher and founded D Yoga Talks, running local workshops and online training globally. She then ventured into the world of bodybuilding, training as a vegan physique athlete and founding The Sculpted Vegan in October 2017. The Sculpted Vegan is now the largest online vegan bodybuilding company in the world. Kim lives in Belfast with her husband Ryan, their four children and Boston Terrier. I'm really looking forward to talking all things fitness, diet and mindset.
You always have to put the dog in there, don't you?
I was going to put the dog first.
like, I'm like, that's how much I love dogs. I'm like, no, I'll keep with the status quo. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Do you know, it's so funny having your own bio read out. You're like, oh, that sounds quite good.
And that was a shortened version, because when I was doing research for this podcast, Kim, like, that could have been a 20-minute intro.
I know, it really is quite hard to fit it all in. But do you know what? It's actually really nice to have an Irish accent and be on the same time zone as someone else on a podcast. Normally it's, you know, you're trying to fit in time zones, and normally, you know, you certainly never hear anyone with your own accent. So this is great. I'm enjoying this so far, even though we're only just starting.
Yeah, well, it's good. Kicking it off the right way. Kim, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about how you got into gym training. Like, you've such an interesting backstory in fitness. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you down your current path to start?
Yeah, do you know, I've always been into the gym, as in, like, in my mind into the gym, but just like kind of never really into it, like, physically, as in, like, I was one of those sporadic gym trainers, you know, like most people are, where they, you know, at like kind of age 16, like, and I would have wandered in and, you know, wandered around the machines and, you know, tried to, you know, do my best, not really knowing what I was doing, not really following a program, but it was just, you know, something you did. You went to the gym one or two times a week. And so that was kind of the way that I'd always trained over the years. And I did train with a powerlifter years ago as well, whenever I wanted to get fit. And I went to him and I said, I really want to get, you know, lean and sculpted. And I always had this look in my mind, which is kind of how I look now, as to, you know, how I wanted to look in the gym. And unfortunately, he didn't really kind of misunderstood what it was that I wanted. And I came away, you know, 68 months later, looking like a powerlifter, which really wasn't the look that I was going for. But I didn't actually understand that if you train like a powerlifter, ultimately, you're going to look like a powerlifter. So that, you know, I kind of, like everybody, I've always had very sporadic gym training over the years. But then whenever I got into yoga, you know, I had my four kids. I started having kids whenever I was 25, had four in very quick succession. You know, couldn't get out to a gym every day, was practicing yoga at home, you know, but got very heavily into yoga, became a yoga teacher, and hadn't even thought about the gym, you know, for years while I was, you know, practicing yoga. But I think that, you know, what spurred my love of muscles, my mom will say, if you ever ask my mom, she'll always say, God, Kim, you always loved muscles. And I think that it kind of started, well, it started whenever I was really young, first of all. Like, my dad was, he wasn't into bodybuilding at all, but, you know, he enjoys being lean and he keeps himself really fit. And even at like 73, he still does like 100 press-ups every morning and squats, and, you know, he's really, really fit. And so he always had bodybuilding magazines in the house whenever we were younger. And we used to all look at them, and I used to look at these female bodybuilders, you know, like 35 years ago. And, you know, the only females that were in bodybuilding were like the big females, you know, they were proper bodybuilders. There was no bikini category, you know, 35 years ago. And so I think that's when I really started appreciating the female form, the muscular female form. But it kind of wasn't until I saw, you know, and do you know what? I've never even seen the movie, but I saw a picture of Sarah Connor from Terminator 2 in a magazine when I was about 13 or 14 when that movie came out. And I remember looking at it and just being like, oh my God, I want to look like her. You know, that's what really sparked my love of, you know, the female muscular body. And just like, obviously, I just looked at her and I just projected all over her. I was like, she must feel so strong, like, forgetting this is actually a character in a movie. But, you know, like, she must feel so strong and she must feel so, like, capable, and she just looks so badass. And, like, I really aspired to that kind of, you know, strong female energy. So that's where, like, my love of the muscular female form first kind of got cemented. And I never lost it. Like, I always loved muscles over the years. And like I said, my mom will always say, if anyone ever, you know, whenever I used to, like, when I started training in the gym, she said, oh my God, Kim, you always loved muscles, always loved muscles. And I did, but like, I didn't do anything about it, Brian, like I said, until I was, you know, 37, and I was teaching yoga privately. I was running the yoga talks. It was doing very, very well. I was teaching privately at home. I was running workshops twice a month for like 120 people we had coming through our workshops. So doing really, really well. And I've told this story before. It's kind of like my infamous story, but maybe like your listeners, if they haven't followed me, may not have heard the story.
I love the story. I know where you're going to go.
You know what it is?
But I would love you to tell it though, because I do love the story.
It is. It's kind of the pinnacle story. And you know, you never realize when these moments are going to shape your life. You really don't. But like, I was 37, mother of four, yoga teacher, walked past, came into my yoga room, which is actually my office where I'm sitting now recording this podcast. Like this room has birthed a lot of businesses. And I walked past this, I had three mirrors up on the wall in this yoga studio. And I walked in here one day in April and I came in to get something from one of the drawers that I had here in the bedroom or in the yoga studio. It used to be a bedroom in our house. And I walked in and the sun was streaming in through the window. And as the sun streams in through the window and you're 37 and you're wearing a thong, you know, of course, bikini season is nearly upon you. So I turned to examine my butt in the mirror, as you do. And I have to be honest, like I talk a lot about my butt because it really was the thing that kind of got me going in fitness, because it's always been the thing that I hated. And to say you hate a body part, like people tell me off for that all the time, especially women, oh, you shouldn't hate your body. I'm like, yeah, I know you shouldn't do a lot of things, but like really I did. You know, I really didn't enjoy, you know, never had a nice bum. I'm so used to saying butt now because like I have such a big American audience, but like here in Ireland, we say bum. Never had a nice bum. And so I turned to look at it in the mirror, knowing bikini season was nearly upon us and I was going to be in a bikini. And I just had this horrifying moment when I realized that I was getting old and my butt was getting saggy. That's the only way I can describe it. Like the skin had started to take on this kind of crappy look where it was kind of just not crappy, but it was just like soft and beginning to sag as it does as you get older. And there was no muscle in there holding it up. I was a yoga teacher. It was quite small. I had a really good glute medius, you know, which you get a lot from twisting, but no fullness in the maximus, you know, nothing to really, you know, to fill out my butt. And I remember just standing looking at it and I had this like epiphany moment where I thought, oh my God. And I thought, right, that's it. I'm going on a diet because, you know, immediately I hated what I saw. And my go-to whenever I hated something about my body or I went through what every woman goes through is I'm not happy. Our go-to is always go on a diet. So I thought to myself, right, that's it. I'm going on a diet. And then I thought, if I go on a diet, that's going to get worse. Like it's not going to get better. If I go on a diet and I lose any more body fat under there, that skin is going to get worse. And I just imagined, like I just projected forward, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 years. And I just saw this sad, old, saggy woman's butt hanging there. And I thought, that's what my butt is going to turn into if I don't change it. And I knew in that moment, I couldn't diet away any more fat from it because it would get worse. So I had this moment where I thought the only way I'm going to be able to change this is if I fill it up with muscle. Because I thought, I don't want to fill it up with fat because then, you know, if you fill it up with fat, then your whole body's going to get fat. But I thought if I really work hard and I fill that up with muscle, that'll stretch out the skin and then the skin won't be as crappy. And if I keep filling it with muscle, my butt will keep getting better and not worse. And that was my big epiphany moment. It was like this light bulb went off and I went downstairs and I downloaded a program from the internet that day. I printed it out, I bound it and I went to the gym that day. I started in the gym that day. And of course, I found a program that was specifically for building butts. And the program was 4 weeks long. And I was convinced that after 4 weeks, I would have the posterior of the fitness model who was selling the program. Because why else would she create a program that was only 4 weeks long to sculpt a better butt if you didn't have a butt like her after 4 weeks? So needless to say, I didn't have her butt after 4 weeks, much to my great disappointment. But once I started in the gym and I started training and I realized my body started changing really, really quickly. I was like, oh my God, this is what I was born to do. Like this is because I'd never worked a training program before. I'd never worked something where I'd followed a specific set of exercises on a specific day in a specific order for reps and sets. Like I'd always just kind of gone in and wandered around, not really knowing what to do, apart from when I was training with a powerlifter. And then all we did was like deadlifts and squats and, you know, reverse grip lat pull downs. Having a training program just spoke to me, the structure of it just spoke to me. And of course, then my body started changing literally before my eyes. I started eating more, started training properly. And that's whenever I thought, this is what I was born to do. This is what I've loved my entire life. Why have I waited so long to do this, to get into the gym? And that is how the whole journey started.
I love it. There's actually I might backpedal slightly because there's two points I want to pull out there. You mentioned the 4 weeks and buying a program and not looking like the fitness model after 4 weeks. Is that the reason your Sculpt a Vegan program is a lot longer than that?
Do you know, it really is. We have just launched an 18-month program. Whenever the first program I ever launched was a 12-month program. And that was probably a very defining moment as well in my journey was that, you know, a lot of fitness models or a lot of, you know, people who are in fitness, what I have found now is they've been in fitness for a long time. You know, they started training whenever they're younger in their 20s. A lot of people even selling programs at the minute, they're in their 20s and their early 30s. And so there's not very many people that I've found in the fitness industry who only started like 3 years ago. And I'm the kind of person who I like to get the, you know, the fastest results possible. I've always been that way. I just want the shortcut. And so whenever I saw this program advertised and it said, you know, this fitness model had an incredible body and an amazing butt. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to do this portion. It's only 4 weeks. And so I did it after 4 weeks, and I truly believed that after 4 weeks, my butt was going to look like hers. And of course it didn't. And I remember then having this, you know, this kind of feeling of disbelief mixed with anger, mixed with acceptance, where I was like, oh shit, it's going to take far longer than this actually. And that's why whenever I created my program, I thought, well, I don't want any of the women to go through what I had to go through. I don't want to sell them something, this, you know, incredible body transformation, like promise them you're going to sculpt amazing glutes and sculpt an incredible booty and, you know, and get really, you know, cut quads. If they're not, like, I don't want to make false promises. I'm all about no BS. So like, I do have 4 week programs, 12 week programs. We're actually launching a 1 week shred tomorrow, but I'm very specific about what these programs are for. People say, oh, I want to, you know, I'm going to buy your 4 week shred because I really want to sculpt muscle. And I go, no, listen guys, this is a diet. You're not going to build muscle on my 4 week shred program. And they're like, really? I'm like, no, you can't. First, you can't build muscle in 4 weeks. Secondly, it's a diet. You don't build muscle in a calorie deficit. You know, it's not designed to build muscle. And I think that's the confusion that a lot of people have. They don't realize how long it actually takes to change your body. And B, they, you know, they're sucked in with these transformations that they see online. And I'm like, there's no way that happened, you know, in that amount of time. Or maybe it did. Like, we get really awesome transformations in the 4 week shred, but it's a diet. They only get awesome transformations because they strip away body fat. They haven't actually built any muscle in that time. So that is the reason why whenever we launched my first program, I launched a 12 month program, because I was like, firstly, Brian, there was nobody else doing a 12-month program. And to my knowledge, there still isn't. So I was like, well, I'm going to boldly go where no one else has gone before. And I'm going to create something entirely unique, which was actually a very deliberate marketing strategy that I used. I got it from a book called Blue Ocean Strategy, which is a fantastic marketing book.
Yeah, it's
which
great.
Teaches you how to, have you read it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
It's
about,
amazing.
Yeah, staying out of the red, is it staying out of the red zones, the blue zones, going into blue oceans that nobody else has gone into yet?
Yeah, and it really teaches you the strategy of exactly how to create something entirely unique. I used it with my Yoga Talks program, and I used it with the Sculpted Vegan. And I use it with all my programs, actually. The strategy teach you how to plot on the graph and everything. So I did that, and for the 12-month program. But to be honest, I knew even 12 months wasn't going to be long enough, but I was afraid of putting out a program that was any longer than that because I really didn't want to put people off. I knew it was going to be a stretch to get people to pay $1,000 for a 12-month program. But it wasn't a stretch, and we did, like, we sold, you know, 1,400 programs in the first year. So, you know, people were very open for this information. And obviously with my target market as well, like most of the women who purchase my program are between the ages of 35 and 65, you know, so I appeal to the older woman who understands that things take time, take energy, take investment, and that, you know, is not looking for the quick fix. So I very heavily niched into that market. Of a woman who has a little more experience, who is a little wiser, a little older, has a little more patience, you know, and is willing to invest a little bit more. And that's why it was so successful. But yes, to circle back to your original question, that's why my programs, my main signature building programs, I don't have one other muscle building program available for sale. That is, they're all my shorter programs are diets or shreds. The only muscle building one that I have is 18 months long, because I truly believe, can you build muscle in any less? Yes, you can. But I truly believe if you want to achieve lasting transformation, the transformation that I promise you're going to get from my program, then it does take that long. So that's what I sell.
I love that message. That's actually the thing that connected me most with the content that you put out, is very much, if you want a quick fix isn't the right word. If you want to shred fast, you are losing body fat. You're not focusing on muscle building. If you want to build muscle, you need to take the long-term approach and something that's sustainable and you're able to adhere to. I love that message because it comes across. I think if you never consumed any of your content, by seeing a 12-month program straight away, it screams, it's something you can sustain and something you can adhere to over the long term, and that you're focusing on the long term vision. If it helps, thankfully my audience are probably conditioned to not going for the quick fix after whatever 2.3, 2.4 million downloads at this stage. People are conditioned to know that they're not going to hear that on this podcast, because I just don't believe in it. Like, the quick fix solution, the silver bullet, just doesn't exist, because if it did, we'd all do it. I want to double back, because you said something really interesting, Kim, about
when you downloaded that program, you started that day. Is that something that you've always done in terms of a personality type where you decide I'm making the change and you don't wait till Monday, you don't wait till the new year, you don't wait till this, that, or the other, you just get started? What, is that something you normally do, or was that just in this instance?
Do you know, I'm smiling as you're even asking that question. It's funny because am I the kind, do you know, I don't know if like I'm the kind of person who kind of starts that day per se, but I am a very driven person. I'm a go-getter, you know, like I always say I suffer from too much motivation, and I whenever I want something, Brian, I go for it. I mean, I go for it. I get completely and utterly consumed by it, like consumed by it. My family always go, oh my God, here she goes again. Like, you know, and I'm not afraid to change direction. You know, I have evolved in my life through so many businesses, through so many stages, you know, through, you know, even just coming through fitness and going through yoga. In fact, I was a Pilates teacher before I was a yoga teacher. I'm not afraid to evolve. I'm not afraid to just take life by the balls and go for it. So I think that I have very little fear. I think it comes down a lot to fear, you know, like, of course I am a human being and I have fear, but I grew up on a farm, in a little place called Isle of Magee in County Antrim. And, you know, my dad worked a lot. You know, my mom was a stay at home mom, but we had horses and dogs and chickens, and it wasn't like a working farm. We didn't have cows and things, but you know, so I grew up, you know, jumping on ponies and cantering bareback across, you know, fields and, you know, and mucking out stables and feeding dogs and mincing tripe and, you know, and building, you know, hay huts and do you know what I mean? Just and climbing trees and making fires and just being very, very physical my whole life. And then we went to boarding school very young. I was only 8 and my parents divorced. We went to boarding school, and that was pretty tough as an 8-year-old to be away from your parents. I only saw my mom once every 2 weeks because, you know, we did weekend about with my parents. We only got home from Saturday afternoon until Sunday evening. So I only saw my mom like once every 2 weeks for like 24 hours. So I became very, very resilient as a child. Like, I do a lot of internal work. You know, I do a lot of kind of deeper work in order just to be more successful. I really try and figure out, you know, what my triggers are that hold me back. So I'm very self-aware. And I know that I became very, very resilient as a child, and I became a real self-starter. Like, I knew I had to depend on me because, you know, I wasn't, you know, don't get me wrong, my parents are fantastic. We're still very close, you know, as a family, but they are very self-sufficient people, and they taught us all to be very self-sufficient children. And so therefore, am I the kind of person who's a go-getter and self-starter? Yes, 100%. And if I decide that I want to go for something, I go for it. I don't have a lot of fear. And I do think that that is, you know, definitely conditioning from childhood. I'm also the third child. So I was the child that was pushed, you know, into Kim, you go and see if Santa's been, or, you know, go and, you know, and speak to that person, or you go and ask mom, can you do this? You know, it's always the youngest child is kind of pushed forward to be the bold one. So I learned very young, because we were 3 and 3 years, my sisters and I have 2 older sisters. And so I learned very young to be the bold child, you know, to be the one to ask the questions, to be the one to go and see had Santa been, to be the one who, you know, who quite often got into trouble, or who could cajole her way out of situations. And so whenever I decided I wanted it that day, whenever I had that realization, and that's what happens with me, Brian, I have this realization and I go, this is not working. I call it like the cold water of reality washes over you. Like, we've all had these epiphany moments where something has happened in our life and we realize that change is easier than staying the same. And that's when we change. At that moment, I looked at my butt and I was like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I keep doing what I'm doing, this is going to get worse. So I stopped what I was doing and I changed, and I did it that day. So yeah, I am the kind of person who just goes after what she wants and does it fearlessly as much as I can. And definitely my family roll my eyes whenever I do it because they know what's coming, because I literally go down the rabbit hole and I don't emerge until I'm completely and utterly full up. So yeah, you have to be that way to get what you want in life, I suppose.
I'm really curious. You mentioned something there about having too much motivation. And I'm going to ask, this is a completely selfish question I'm going to ask, because as someone that myself in the past has suffered from that too much ambition, where you can be blinded when going towards a target or a goal, is that something that happens to you, has happened to you, or are you able to turn it on and off, that too much motivation? And clearly, as someone who's achieved as much as you've achieved and as clearly as ambitious as you are, is that
personality type something that has always served you, or is there times when it doesn't, or is it something that you can kind of just switch on and off, as I mentioned?
It's interesting, actually, that you ask that just now. I think I'm becoming a lot better at evaluation. I think that it becomes, I'm a risk taker. The reason why I have managed to do so well with the Sculpted Vegan, and, you know, I suppose in fitness as well, is I'm not afraid to take risks. And so, but unfortunately, sometimes those risks and those, you know, going after what I want and that, you know, eternal motivation, you can be very single focused and you can lose sight of what's important around you. And I think that I have developed a skill over the years, very purposely developed a skill, and through training, some training that I did years ago, as to what are my values, what's important to me in life, and what are the areas that I want to focus on, and what constitutes success for me in those areas. So the things that are most important to me in my life are my family, my kids, and my husband, first and foremost. So I have really sat down and evaluated, what is it that I want for my children? What constitutes success, not only with my relationship with them, but in their lives? You know, we homeschool our kids. We do a thing called radical unschooling. We do no formal curriculum with our children whatsoever. They are all self-taught readers, writers, mathematicians. They have bank accounts, PayPal accounts. They're young. I mean, my oldest is 14. My youngest is 8. They transfer money to and from each other. They, you know, they learn life through living life, through, you know, being around adults a lot, through being around their friends, you know. So, but anyway, I constitute, like, what is success for that? Are they happy? Are they all, you know, are they efficiently educated? Are they, you know, are they problem solvers? And they are incredible problem solvers. Like, can they go out and find information and solve their own problems? You know, are they motivated? Can they cook for themselves, look after themselves? All of these different benchmarks that I set for what constitutes a successful child, you know, to become a successful adult. And so, you know, and again, with my husband, with my relationship with Ryan, my husband, you know, what constitutes a successful marriage? And I have a lot of benchmarks for that as well. You know, with Ryan, you know, we've talked about this a lot. So then I look at business. What constitutes, you know, how do I know I'm succeeding and how do I know I'm failing? And then I look at time management. How do I know I'm succeeding in my own life? Am I making time for myself? Am I, you know, I even break it down into the physical, the emotional, and thought. What is success in the physical realm, the emotional realm, and the thought realm? So I think that when you're very single focused, like you and I are, and you become, you're extremely single minded and, stubborn probably, and, you know, and very, very motivated, you can lose sight of what's important to those people around you, and you can lose sight of having success in relationships or things that, you know, outside of yourself as well. So I think it just becomes, it's for me, it's about being very, very self-aware. And actually just recently this happened. So I was in New York recently, and I was at a big event, a big media event in New York. And when I was there, I decided that I was going to sign a big PR firm in America. I really want to grow my American presence. We sell 70% of our programs in America. So I thought, I really want to grow this, my American presence. So I had provisionally signed, verbally agreed with this company to sign them for multiple six figures a year. And they were going to do all my PR in America. I was going to have to spend a lot more time there doing media tours, you know, and TV appearances and all that kind of stuff next year. And so, you know, I discussed it with my husband first. I didn't sign anything. It was a verbal agreement. So whenever I came home and over this last couple of weeks, you know, I've had a new business opportunity come to me. I've been looking to invest in other companies and take my business model, apply it to other businesses, and, you know, use my intellectual property in order to launch a different company online. So I have that opportunity has come up now. And I really had to sit down and look this last couple of days and say, okay, can I do both? Which is more important to me? Before I recognize, I would have been the kind of person who would have said, you know what, it's okay, I can just do both. I can do both. I can do both. You know, it's okay. I'll find the money. Even though this is a huge investment over here, I'll create a new product. I'll find the money. I'll get a loan. I'll do something to invest in this company over here. You know, I'll make it happen. I'll just make it happen. And I would have been very single-minded. I'll just make it happen. Just make it happen. Just make it happen. And recently, you know, I've learned to pull back, and I pulled back and I said, no, hang on a wee second. I need to look at this. Like, going, you know, signing with this company in America is going to more time away from the family, more time away from the kids, more travel, more, you know, expense for a return that I can't see. I can't see a financial return. There will be a big return, but it won't be a very immediate measurable financial return for the investment that I would be making. And I thought, but if I take that money and I invest that over here, then I can see how this is going to happen over here and I can see how this return will come. But, you know, I could have chosen both, but choosing both would have stretched me so thin that something would have sacrificed. Not even financially stretched me thin, but stretched me thin with time. Because launching another company in the same way I've launched the Sculpted Vegan, even though I have a big team now to do all the work, it's still going to take an insane amount of time. And I thought, somebody is going to sacrifice here if I do both of these, and it's usually going to be my husband and my kids, because I don't have time to see friends. I literally have, I can count my friends on one hand, and I very rarely see them. I just don't have time. I just either work or spend time with my family, or I train. And so I made the decision that I wasn't going to sign with this company this year. I probably will next year. And, you know, and I'm going to keep, you know, I'm going to invest in this other business. And, but that was an evaluation I would not have been able to make probably a year ago. A year ago, I just would have said, I can do both. I can do both. It's okay. Like, I'll make it happen. I'll make it work. And I would have said to my husband, don't worry, it's fine. We'll figure it out. And I would have found myself in the middle of having made both of these decisions with no way back, drowning, like drowning in, you know, in having to work to, you know, to find the money to fund it all, but also, you know, having to find the time and having to split myself and try and make myself, you know, available to the kids and make myself available to everybody. And so that's what's changed with me, that I definitely have a much more presence of mind. I'm able to evaluate my decisions and see long-term effects and consequences of my decisions in a way that I probably wouldn't have been able to even a year or two ago, because I was so single focused on growing the business. But now I'm at a place where decisions must be made more strategically, because to be honest, I spent my life in meetings. You know, my team is worldwide. We have 15 full-time. I literally spend my life in meetings. And so I have to be very, very, very careful with what I take on, because anything else I take on over and above what I'm doing now, it's my family that sacrifice. It's not me. It's they sacrifice time with me and I sacrifice time with them. So I think that once you reach that point where, you know, it's almost like a balancing act, like there's scales, you know, if you put something on one side, you're going to have to take something off the other side. You know, it becomes a balancing act. Whenever you're stretched as far as I am now, and you're forced to make better decisions. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's funny that you asked, because that really just came up today. And my husband was like, I'm so proud of you for making this decision and for really evaluating this. And of course, I'm still at the age, even though I'm 40 years of age, and I'm like still like glow, bask in the praise of my husband telling me he's proud of me. You know what I mean? I'm like, dear God, have I actually grown up, or am I still 4 years of age? You know? But it was true. Like, I was proud of myself. You know, I was like, yeah, I'll give myself a wee rap, you know, wee pat in the back for evaluating this decision. But it's taken a lot of learning. It's taken a lot of learning to get there.
Oh, I love that. I love that that's your response to your husband, Ryan, because you can tell a lot by a person by who they seek praise from. And I think that's just an amazing thing, amazing response. I have a smile on my face. I can tell from even the tone in your voice as you speak about him. You mentioned, I'm curious, because self-awareness sounds like something that you're very strong on. And I think even that example of making that decision on evaluation and reflection shows that. Is that something that you've always been good at, or has it really honed over the last year? And the reason that I kind of add that little side bit to that question is because it sounds like, as you said before, you would have done both, jumped in, and then kind of figured out, you know, I always think of the adage, you know, bite off more than you can chew and chew faster. You strike me as that type of person who's like, cool, go, 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 and let's get it done. Have you always been quite self-aware, or is that something that you've really honed over the last year? Or is it just in this particular example that you had to kind of pull it back and ask the question? Or are you always been reflecting and evaluating decisions that you make? Is that something you do naturally, or something that you developed?
It's something I definitely do naturally. I've always done it my entire life. I was the kind of person that, as a child, I always had to figure out how things worked. You know, whenever my grandparents, like, who lived right beside us, my grandmother and my great grandmother, you know, our houses were attached, you know, in where we grew up at home. And they, if their VCR broke, they called me, and I was like 7, and they were like, Kimmy, the VCR is broken. It's not working. Can you come and fix it? And I was like, I was just the kind of child who I wanted to know, how does this work? Why does it work this way? Why is it put together this way? I used to take things apart with a screwdriver and, you know, and break things open to see what was inside. I've always been really, really curious about how things work. And I'm exactly the same with everything in my life. Like, if, you know, if I, If you know, a lot of people have asked me recently, just as a funny example, a lot of people ask me, you know, questions obviously about fitness and stuff, and I get a lot of questions because of the age I am and the market that I attract. I get a lot of questions about menopause at the minute, right? A lot of women asking me, and they're saying, oh, Kim, you know, I'm in perimenopause, I'm in menopause, I'm in postmenopause. Understand, I didn't even know what perimenopause was, okay? I'm not menopausal yet, all right? So, and I keep saying to them, I'm really sorry, but I don't know the answer to your question because I have not gone through menopause and I'm not in perimenopause, which is the stage you go through before you go through menopause, apparently. And so they're asking me all these questions about menopause and I keep saying to them, I'm really sorry, I don't know the answer to your question, but let me tell you, the minute I start going through menopause, I'm going to have answers to all your questions because the minute it starts happening to me, I'm going to want to know, why does it happen? What's happening? How can I prevent it from happening? How can I make it better when it happens? I'm going to want to know every single thing there is to know about menopause. I'm not the kind of person who would go to the doctor and say, I'm having hot flushes, what can you do? I'm going to be going, what organ in the body causes the hot flushes, or what system in the body, or what, you know, I will literally go down the rabbit hole of what happens with menopause. And it's a funny example that I've been using with people recently. I'm like, just you wait till I hit menopause. I'm going to have the answers to all your questions. Because the minute something starts happening to me, I want to know why. And that's just a personality trait that I have. So of course, if it extends into the, you know, into the external world, it also extends into the internal world. I've always wanted to know, why do I think the way that I do? Why do I act the way I do? Why do I, you know, have the reactions that I have? Why do I feel this way about this person? Why does he react this way to me? And so that has led me to do a lot of study over the years. You know, I whenever I was younger and I was going to go to uni, I always wanted to know, I wanted to study psychology because it just fascinated me, the human brain and how we were put together and how we're, you know, we're born as children and how our brains connect and make connections between things and stimulus response patterns. That has always fascinated me. And so the more I've learned about it, the more I've applied it to my life, the more I've become self-aware, the better my life has become because I have less reactions. I'm more successful. You know, I blame less. I take more responsibility for my choices, for my emotions. And, you know, one thing I always say to people about taking responsibility is the more responsibility you can take for what happens in your life, the more powerful you are. If you give away your responsibility and you blame someone else for something that happened, you're giving away your power to that person. You're saying to them, you are responsible for what happened. Where if I say, how am I responsible for this happening? Even if my kids are having a fight, like if one of them comes in and goes, mommy, you know, Kai hit me, I will say, you know, how are you responsible for Kai hitting you? And they'll be like, I'm not, he just hit me. I'm like, I know. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing that he hit you or that, you know, I'm certainly will address it with Kai. But what I want you to figure out is, how did you bring yourself to be in the situation to allow yourself to get hit? And if you can evaluate that and you can figure out how you brought yourself to the place where you were there at that time to come into physical contact with your brother, it gives you the power. You're not a victim of Kai anymore. You are now powerful and you can figure out how to change it the next time it happens. And if you can't figure out how you put yourself there, you won't know how to figure out how to change it. So it won't happen again. You'll just believe that you're a victim of the situation. So once I learned these different tips and techniques, and once I learned these strategies and I try and teach them to my kids, I certainly, I find that it helps me in so many areas of my life. And I definitely have then honed the skills over the years and become more and more and more self-aware. My husband's very much the same. Like I've had, well, he's not, he never used to be. I've had to drag him kicking and screaming into. Somebody said to me the other day, actually about my husband and I do talk about Ryan a lot because he is my best friend and we do have the most phenomenal relationship. And somebody asked me recently and they said, why do you, you know, how come you and Ryan have such a good relationship? And I said, and this person said, is it just that you're really well suited? And I thought for a minute and I said, no, do you know why we have such an exceptional relationship? I said, because of adversity. And they were like, what? And I said, we've had to grow a lot through adversity together and we've had a choice. You know, I said, we've had a choice, but we've put ourselves in a lot of serious growth situations. We had 4 children in 5 years, you know, puts a strain on any marriage. We had, you know, he has grown a company. I have now grown the Sculpted Vegan. I have, you know, the training that was insane, you know, and the prepping and the dieting for standing on stage and then the growing of the company, the having to, you know, figure out the whole different dynamic in the house. You know, we've had to rethink our whole dynamic in our relationship because now I now earn more money than him. And he was always the breadwinner and I was the stay-at-home mom, and suddenly our roles are reversed. And like, how the hell do you figure that one out? You know, it's very, you know, so we've been forced to grow together. And we, you know, you have a choice. You can either move apart and you can, you know, go your separate ways and you can blame each other, or you can say, holy shit, we find ourselves in a really difficult situation. Let's see if we can be 100% honest, dig deep, not blame each other for what's going on, but really dig deep and figure out a way through this. And so that adversity and that commitment to each other has caused us to have an incredible relationship, because we have grown by choice together. But it hasn't been easy, you know, but the adversity and the hard times have caused us to grow. So that's, you know, that kind of self deep and reflective work is something that I practice daily in all my relationships. And when you do it and you do it as a practice, your life transforms, you know, your business transforms, your relationships transform. My relationship with my kids is amazing. And I think that certainly I've probably always been that way, but it is something that I have developed more as I've gotten older. I'm 40 years of age now, and you do something, something happens when you hit 40, you know, you just suddenly you're like infused with wisdom or something. I don't know, but definitely in the last couple of years since I got older, it has helped too, but it is something I've always had as a part of me.
I love that. For anyone that is unfamiliar with the way Kim looks, like, you don't look that at all. Like, you look like early 30s, like,
maybe in body, not in face.
All over. Like, I'm like, I'll call a spade, and I just wouldn't have brought it up if it wasn't true. Like, you would never, as in, I would
Ryan,
have said,
you've only seen the professional photos that are ultra touched. You if you saw me sitting here now in my pajamas with my bun, I look like a Teletubby. my big podcasting headphones on. You're too sweet.
I doubt that. I've seen the photo, all of the photos. I follow your stories and everything on Instagram. You're totally good. I want to take a slightly different direction now, because the plant-based, obviously Sculpted Vegan, a plant-based program, and that's the way you live your lifestyle. How long have you been plant-based? And I want to kind of preface this with the fact that you've competed, you've stepped on stage, you've done photo shoots, you hold quite a lot of muscle in for a female frame, but especially for a plant-based athlete. So can you talk us through your journey when you went plant-based, and maybe even just talk us through a little bit on what your day-to-day eating kind of looks like?
Yeah, sure. People are really curious actually about that. And it's funny because eating has always been something that has been, like, nutrition has always been very, very important to me. I've always cooked. I love cooking and I love developing recipes. And whenever I went vegetarian, 16 years ago. And I went vegetarian for all the wrong reasons. I went vegetarian because my best friend was vegetarian and I totally respected her. And I thought, well, if she's vegetarian and she says that it's better for the planet, better for your body, well, then I'm going to go vegetarian too. I mean, literally it was 16 years ago. You would think I was like 10, but I wasn't. I was in my 20s, but I did really respect this girl that I was, and she's still my best friend. And so that's why I went vegetarian. And then the reason why I decided to go plant-based was, and I'll circle back to what I was saying about cooking in a second, but the reason why I decided to go, you know, completely plant-based was it was because I am so interested in nutrition. Like, I am a geek on the human body. Like, I go to bed reading books on the digestive system. And like, I go into like bookshops in town. If I ever go shopping with my kids on Saturday, I go into bookshops and I come home with books like, the blood sugar diet. I don't have diabetes. I don't even know anyone who's diabetes, but I buy books on diabetes because I'm so interested in blood sugar and insulin and how your pancreas secretes insulin and glucose storage. And I just geek out on all that shit. Right. And so like, this is like my bedtime reading. I want to know, how does the liver function the way it does? And how does the heart function the way it does? And what's the function of the kidneys? And what is the function of your gallbladder? And how does it store bile? And, you know, and how does that function with your digestion? And so I've always been a complete and utter health geek, and that's always been extremely important to me. And then whenever years ago, I people kept talking about being vegan. You would hear it, you know, in the news, and I was always like so curious about veganism, but I was like, oh, I'm just not ready to go vegan. You know, it's, I love cheese and I love, you know, like butter, like hot buttered toast and that kind of stuff. And I, vegetarian was easy for me, but I was like, I don't think I'm ready to go full vegan. And then I heard about this book called The China Study, which was the largest study of nutrition and health ever done on humans anywhere, on mankind. And I thought, do you know what? Maybe I'll just read the China Study and that might kind of push me over the edge, you know, because I was willing to be pushed. I just wasn't, you know, hadn't gotten the data yet. I hadn't had that aha moment yet, you know, like I did when I saw my butt in the mirror, which is kind of what I need in order for me to go, you know, I'm not a dip dip my toe in the water kind of person. I'm like a, you know, give me something like hard sell me, give me the hard sell and I'll dive in. And so I read the China study and I literally could not refute that. Whenever you show me science and you show me science, which is black and white, you know, in a very logical manner, and you know, and what they proved was that eating a diet of more than 5% animal protein. Now, a lot of the studies they did were in rats. Okay. But rats have very similar systems, believe it or not, to especially like reproductive systems and things to human beings. And so they did these studies on rats and they realized by default, they didn't actually mean to do it. They just realized as they were doing other studies on rats that if they fed the rats a diet of over 5% animal protein, the rats not only got cancer, but they could turn on cancer, as in like make the cancer cells grow by feeding them more animal protein. And then they realized that they could turn off the cancer cell growth by reducing the amount of animal protein they were getting. So 5% seemed to be the magic number. Over 5%, the rats developed cancer. Under 5%, the rats didn't develop cancer, and they could turn on and turn off the cancer gene. But they didn't just show the study in rats. They showed the studies in, you know, they took, it's called the China study because they did the study in China where, you know, they don't eat a lot of animal, but they don't eat a lot of dairy, or it's actually casein. It's casein, the protein in whey, in milk, that is actually the biggest culprit for, they reckon, for triggering autoimmune diseases in small children, and also for heart disease and for a lot of cancer growths. And like, don't get me wrong, a lot of this was hypotheses backed by science, but you know, nothing in science is ever 100%. There's always that room for margin of error. And I'm totally open to that. But whenever you present me with evidence that literally shows beyond all, you know, scientific doubt that eating animal protein causes heart disease and causes cancer, and not eating animal protein, you know, protects the body from these things, I was like, okay, well, there's no reason for me to stay vegetarian. I may as well go vegan because I want to live a long and healthy life. I want to be there for my kids. I want to be, you know, I want to be disease free. It terrifies me, the thought of getting like cancer or a debilitating disease, because I am so energetic. Like I said, I am, you know, I'm so motivated to live my life. And the thought of something slowing me down is horrifying to me, Brian. So I was like, I'm going to do anything within my power to protect myself in any way I can. So as soon as I read the China study, I went vegan overnight. And so I want to make the distinction though, like I am not vegan as in, I didn't even know when I went vegan, in inverted commas, I didn't know there was a difference. I didn't know there's a difference between plant-based and vegan. I thought a vegan was someone who didn't eat any animal products. I didn't actually know whenever I went vegan, and then I chose the name The Sculpted Vegan for my Instagram, which is how it all started. I didn't realize that a vegan is someone who doesn't wear leather or fur. Well, hardly anyone wears fur anyway, but any animal products at all. No cashmere, no leather, no wool, no, you know, they don't eat honey. True vegans don't like, they don't have leather seats in their car. They don't, you know, they are very careful with any wines that they drink or beer or, you know, because a lot of them, some of them aren't vegan. So I didn't realize that meant vegan. So I am not vegan. I am plant-based. And I get a lot of shit for it online. I get a lot of like, oh my God, how dare you? You're carrying a Chanel bag. I'm like, yeah, I'm really sorry. Like I bought it before I was even vegan. So, or plant-based.
Yeah, so, like with the online world, it's just, yeah, all the rejection everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I get a lot, people are like, that's it. I'm unfollowing you because I thought that you were all about health and the animals and I see that you're not. And I go, okay, like, do you realize how ludicrous this is? You had a vision of me. So you saw me and you projected into me the kind of person that you thought I was. And now you're angry with me for not living up to your expectations, which is nothing to do with me. You know, so people like see you, they go, oh my God, I love you, The Sculpted Vegan. Then they go, oh, I don't love you, The Sculpted Vegan, because you're not actually living up to my expectations. So I'm going to blame you for being you and I'm going to unfollow you. And I'm like, bye. You know, like it's crazy, the people on Instagram. And so I lost a lot of followers recently whenever I started posting about getting Botox and fillers and all this. They were like, you're not vegan. I was like, never said that it was. And then people were going, you should change your name to The Sculpted Plant-Based. Someone even said, I'm going to report you to the Advertising Standards Authority. And I was like, really? For having a free Instagram account? I could call myself the Queen of Sheba if I wanted to. Are they going to report me to the Advertising Standards Authority? Like people, like vegans are the nastiest bunch of bastards you'll ever meet in your entire life. Truly, Brian, I always say to people, I wish I wasn't one. They can be so punishing and so mean. And that is one thing that I honestly stand up for in my company. I am like, we have the most supportive community ever. And I say to people, there will be no nastiness in my communities. We allow no nastiness, no judgment. We welcome vegans, vegetarians, omnivores, carnivores. We welcome everybody into our community. We just say, please don't post about animal products in the groups. Don't post pictures of your steak if you're going to have one. You know, it is offensive. You know, people, vegans and, you know, they do get upset about stuff like that. So we have certain rules for our community, but there is no nastiness allowed and everybody is welcome, because I refuse to be one of those vegans. I understand why they are that way. Like, they're so passionate about, you know, the animals and it causes them so much pain, but you never, ever brought anyone around to your way of thinking by making them wrong and blaming them. Never. I'm all about inspiring people. So that's how I became vegan. I know I'm going off on a complete tangent here. I will pull it back. I'm really good at that. I go off on a tangent.
And
then I
love that tangent.
And I whip it back in again. I never forget what it was I was talking about. So why? So I went vegan 4 years ago, plant-based 4 years ago. And then, yeah, I do have an enormous amount of muscle. When I started training in the gym, I was 57 kilos and I'm now 65 kilos. And I've actually just lost 2 kilos because I'm doing a 10-week shred for going away to Australia for Christmas. I just wanted to be ripped on the beach. So I put on 10 kilos of muscle, 12 pounds of, I think about 12 pounds, just over 12 pounds of muscle in the last 3 years, because I'm only about 12% body fat at the minute. So it's an incredible amount of muscle. But what I have found is, you know, people think it's hard to get protein as a vegan. It's really, really not. I mean, I'm, you know, yes, you do have to supplement with protein powder, but like, Brian, do you supplement with protein powder?
I don't know.
You don't know?
And funnily enough, when I do like ultra endurance events, so ultra marathons through the Arctic, through the Sahara, places like that, and I bring it's a rice protein. I use the Sun Warrior rice protein when I go away, but throughout the year, I don't use any protein powder.
Because I know a lot of, my point always is, to be whenever they say, oh, you probably take a lot of protein powder, I'm like, well, I do when I'm shredding, which I am at the minute, and I will take 2 protein shakes a day, which accounts for about 100 grams of protein, because I would use 50 grams per shake. But you mean even my trainer, who is like one of the world's largest bodybuilders, you know, he supplements with protein powder. I don't know any competitive athlete who stands on stage that doesn't supplement with protein powder. It's just rife in the bodybuilding industry. It's not unique to, you know, people who are vegan or plant-based. So, but like a typical day's food for me, like I'm on a shred at the minute. Okay. So I've been gradually reducing my calories, gradually increasing my cardio over the last 6 weeks. I've dropped an insane amount of body fat. My usual food, like I'll give you a day's food at the minute, if that's what you're interested in. Do you want to hear like what a,
yeah, I'd love to,
kind of what a day's food is. So like a day's, we have different meal plans that I have created every week for my husband and I, because he's doing the shred too.
Is he plant-based as well?
He is. He always says he's a flexitarian. That's what he defines himself as. I am a flexitarian. He refused to be pigeonholed. So he eats 99.9% plant-based. But like whenever we went away for my birthday, my 40th into Barcelona in April, he had a steak. But that was like the first time he'd had a steak, I think, in like 2 years. So he's not vegan or plant-based, no, but he does eat. Health is a very high value to him. So he does eat like me, 99, you know, well, I eat 100%, but he eats 99.9% vegan. So especially if someone else is, like, we have a chef now, because I can't, you know, I can't run my business and cook food, and I wouldn't eat what Ryan cooks. So bless him. So like, I've hired a full-time chef now. So it does make it very easy. You know, he preps and I create all the meal plans and he preps all the food. You know, I just give him the quantities and the amounts and he does everything. So it's very easy for Ryan and I to sustain this lifestyle because we have Gareth cooking for us. So Ryan, yes, he will eat what I eat and what I eat. So in the morning at the minute, it's oatmeal made just with water because I'm on a shred, with a scoop of vanilla protein powder added to it, just to, you know, bring it up to like about 42 grams of protein, with 50 grams of blueberries. I can give you the exact quantities, 50 grams of blueberries and a splash of oat milk. I always put cinnamon and everything because it helps to regulate blood sugar. Mid morning after I train, I have 50 grams of protein with a scoop of Vitargo, high molecular weight carbohydrate, really good for, you know, you probably have it on your runs. Do you? Do you take Vitargo as a supplement?
I actually don't. I go mostly fat based on my runs. Yeah.
Really? Well, if you're ever doing any endurance stuff, you should look into Vitargo. It's incredible.
I tried it. My body doesn't work well off it at all. Not
really?
I work way better off fats for just because of the distance is so long. My body just crashes on carbohydrate.
I have a friend, my best friend who I was talking about earlier, her husband actually runs triathlons. Ironmans. He runs and he does his coach has him on a very high fat diet as well. Yes, I remember that from last time we were there with them. So anyway, a protein powder with Vitargo to fuel my muscles after training. Lunch is, oh my God, we just discovered these incredible quarter pounder soy burgers. They're soy based, very high in carbs, sorry, very high in protein, very low in fat and carbs. I think they have 18 grams of protein per burger with, I think, only 4.5 grams of carbs. And I think 1.1 gram or 2.2 grams of fat. Which is, you know, so when, as a vegan, you're always looking for, well, certainly as a vegan bodybuilder, you're always looking for protein sources that are high in protein, but low in carbs and fat, because, you know, which makes them kind of a lean protein. And then with that, we're having unlimited salad greens, a coleslaw made from white cabbage and grated carrot with a tablespoon of vegan mayo on the side, or half an avocado. I'm trying to think. Yes, and a big bowl of homemade lentil soup. So that's lunch. And then dinner tonight was scrambled tofu with chili and garlic and coriander and ginger and fresh lime juice with some quinoa on the side. So quinoa, really good grain, really high in protein, really good carb. And then unlimited amounts of green, steamed green vegetables with garlic. So that was dinner. And then before I go to bed tonight, I will have another protein shake. So that'll be just protein blended with ice and water. I make it into almost like a pudding so I can just eat it with a spoon. But like, this is me when I'm on a shred. So I eat five times a day when I'm on a shred. But if I'm not on a shred and I'm bulking and I'm not counting calories, I will just same kind of protein. Like, I prioritize protein first at every meal. So I'm always thinking at breakfast, what's my protein? Lunch, what's my protein? Dinner, what's my protein? And then I build out my meals around my protein. But one of the secrets as a vegan bodybuilder that I teach to everybody is they always say, oh my God, is it not really high carb being a bodybuilder? Well, first of all, yes, because carbs are essential for building muscle. I always tell people protein isn't like the most important thing for building muscle. Carbohydrates are, because they fuel your muscles before you train and then they fuel your muscles again after you've trained. So, but you don't have to, a lot of people don't realize that you're, what I think the misconception with a lot of people when they think about bodybuilding, vegan bodybuilders is, They think of protein sources as being beans, lentils, and legumes, which is true. Beans and lentils and, you know, chickpeas and beans and lentils are really high in protein. But they think that they have to couple that with another carb source, such as rice or pasta or quinoa or some other, you know, starchy carb. But what you don't realize is whenever you work as a vegan bodybuilder, if you make your carbohydrate source, the beans and lentils and legumes, you don't need another carb on the side. That is your carb. So you're getting, so actually it's not high carb at all. It's actually relatively low carb because you are getting your protein and your carbs at the same time, and you're still adding another lean protein into the mix. So I rarely, rarely eat white starchy carbs, even whenever I'm bulking, even all year round. I try and get the bulk of my carbs from oats I would eat, but also just beans, lentils, and legumes, because I'm getting a protein and a carb hit at the same time. Those kinds of carbs aren't spiking my blood sugar. They're keeping the blood sugar really, really steady. So I'm getting a constant drip of energy during the day. I'm eating food that's very, very calorifically dense, nutritionally dense, but calorifically light. Like, my lunch today was huge and only had 424 calories. That was lunch because I'm on a shred, but there was a huge amount of food and I was full. So I think that whenever you feed your body, and you know, the way I do, and you feed it regularly, you keep your metabolism high, you're feeding it really good, high quality proteins. I'm not eating any crap, Brian. Like, I have no cravings for crap. Like, I don't crave potato chips and French fries and all that kind of stuff. Like, I do have the odd pizza every so often. I enjoy a drink on the weekend. But, you know, I don't have craving for food like that because my body is my livelihood. My body is like a machine. I will eat anything that is required to achieve my goal, which is, you know, still, you know, I'm still building muscle. I'm still training hard. I still love being ripped and muscular. It's, you know, it's something that's important to me. So I don't really want to put anything into my body that is going to move me away from that goal. So I just don't have cravings for, you know, a lot of junk food. So I nourish my body very well. And I think that's what helps me to really build muscle in the long term, because I have put on an insane amount of muscle this last year. And the only thing I can equate it to is consistency, consistent supplementation, consistent training in the gym, consistent cardio, consistent nutrition. And when you keep all of those variables consistent, your body changes. It can't help but change because you're consistent in what you're doing. You're not perfect. You're consistent.
You mentioned,
I could talk.
And so much value there. Like, we can go in so many different directions with that. But there's one thing I want to follow on, because you mentioned,
And this is a massive misconception that I see in the vegan community, especially as someone, I eat mostly plant-based as well. I'm about 80% plant-based. And one of the biggest misconceptions is people around the protein intake that, you know, you're not going to get your protein if you're eating plant-based. I'm like, you probably will, especially if you're supplementing. Do you see any other dietary misconceptions around building muscle or anything, even in the plant-based or vegan community, that you're like, this is a huge misconception and it's just not true? Similar to that of people not getting enough protein, which actually isn't that difficult if you just dial in your nutrition correctly, as you mentioned. Do you see any other misconceptions around that?
I don't see that there's any misconceptions per se in the vegan industry, but I'll tell you one thing that I really enjoy talking about and busting the myth of, which is, and this is especially true with women, I think that men have a different, they're brought up differently than women. And you know, and people are always like, oh my God, you're so misogynistic. I'm like, I had to go and Google that word. Someone called me misogynistic recently and they were like, you're so against women. I'm like, I'm really not. I just speak it as it is. And the problem with most women is they're not consistent and they don't have discipline and they say they're going to show up and they don't. Men are much better at showing up, doing the work, doing the hard thing and doing it consistently because they're just trained differently than women. You know, women are let off the hook an awful lot whenever they're younger, whenever they're little girls, and then they cry and then they get out doing stuff and they learn very quickly, okay, I can just get out of doing this thing. I don't have to show up and do the work. Not true for all women, of course. There are men who can't show up and do the work as well. But whenever you look on the balance, I've found that to be true. So what I love to, you know, I think that a lot of people are like, oh, you're plant-based and how do you get your protein? And, you know, and what about your supplements? And do you not find this hard and that hard? And I always say to people, listen, it doesn't actually matter if you are eating a carnivore diet. I got corrected on that. Apparently I say the wrong thing all the time. It's not a carnivore, it's an omnivore. Again, no freaking clue what an omnivore is, but apparently I offend people at every turn now because I'm not using the correct
that's what happens
terminology,
though, when
Brian.
You've got like a quarter of a million Instagram followers or near it, like by nature you're going to offend somebody.
I know, like, so apparently the omnivore is the new carnivore, right? So here I'm just saying, I don't know, I'm just over here doing my thing. I'm not really thinking about what the words are, but anyway, so what doesn't matter to me whether you're omnivore, carnivore, whether you are, you know, vegetarian, vegan, I think that what people truly don't understand is that what is necessary to achieve greatness in any area of your life, whether it be fitness, whether it be business, whether it be with your family, your relationships, whatever, is consistency. I did a whole podcast on this. It's my most downloaded episode so far. People keep writing to me and going, oh my God, that episode has changed my life. Consistency, the C word, I called it. You know, I think that if you, that's the thing that's lacking. Like in my, you know, we sold 9,500 programs last year, right? And the women come to me day and daily in the Facebook groups and they say, you know, I get questions like, oh, I was just wondering, like, you know, should I take CLA or should I take ALA? Or I'm just thinking that if I change this up, or what about if I did this? Or what about if I did these nutrient timings? Or what cardio is the best type of cardio to do? Or should I do my cardio fasted? And I'm like, doesn't matter if you do it fasted, fed, morning, night, in your sleep, in the middle of the night. The most important thing is that you do it. But what, but no, there's no buts. It's just important that you show up, you schedule it and you do it. But should I do the elliptical? Should I do the Stairmaster? Should I do an incline? What about if I do a bike? Doesn't matter what you do. Just choose one thing that you can stick to consistently and do it when you say you're going to do it for the same amount of time on the same intensity with the same duration every single week. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes, stop changing. You know, like choose a gym schedule, stick to it. Choose a cardio schedule, stick to it. Choose a diet, stick to it. Stop jumping around, you know, in 1600 calories this week. Oh, maybe I'll bulk this week. Oh, maybe I'll shred this week. Like we see it in my programs. They join the 18-month program and then I release a new program. They go, oh, I'm feeling a wee bit fluffy. I think I need to shred. You don't need to shred, sweetheart. You're only just on the Sculpt and Shred program. You're just starting to build muscle. Seriously, you don't need to diet. No, but I feel need to diet. We're like, okay, rock on, whatever. Like this is your life. You know, and they jump around. First of all, they're bulking and then they're shredding and then they're bulking again. And then they're adding in cardio. Oh no, the cardio is too much. They're taking the cardio away. And they're jumping all over the place. And then they wonder why they don't get results. And I am literally on a single-handed one-woman mission to tell people the thing that's stopping you isn't animal protein, plant protein, getting enough protein, not getting enough protein, eating within 30 minutes of waking up, eating before bedtime, eating after 7 o'clock, keto, fasting, intermittent fasting. This is, none of these things are stopping you from achieving your goal. The thing that's stopping you from achieving your goal is not being able to follow a plan and stick to it consistently for a long period of time. And I don't mean 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 12 weeks. I mean 12 months or 18 months or 24 months. I mean, show up and do the work consistently and stop jumping around. It's boring because it's work. I ask people all the time, I say, do you want to be entertained? They're like, oh, the gym program. You know, I get this all the time. I just gone into phase two and I really hope that the exercises might be like a little more different than phase one. And I'm like, why? Do you want to be entertained? And they're like, but the gym's my happy place. Sweetheart, if the gym is your happy place, you're in the wrong program. It's like, the gym is not your happy place. The gym is the place where you go to get results. I go to get in there, get the work done and get out again. Like, if you're going to the gym for your happy place, you're seriously in the wrong program. You know, it's like, yes, do you feel good after you've gone? Yes, because that's endorphins and dopamine and all of the hormones that are supposed to be flooding your body after you've worked really hard and trained. But, you know, the gym should not be your happy place. And so, you know, I always say, do you want the results? Like, do you want to be entertained or do you want to get the results? Because if you want to be entertained, then, you know, then you're probably not, you know, you're not going to get the results. But if you want to get the results, then you need to show up and do the work. And so, you know, I think that's an important point to hammer home, that I always get asked, what are the myths and what are the things you would like to bust through and what are the things you should change? And I always say to people, doesn't matter what you do. I would just love people to literally choose a course of action and stick to it. Stick to it. It's hard. It's crappy work. It's boring. It's going to be much tougher than you think. And you're going to go through the valley of despair at some point and just have to haul yourself out the other side. But unfortunately, it's the only way to get from A to B. It's the only way to get from A to B. And I think that, you know, that's, I don't know how I even got there from your question, but I suppose that, you know, I do get asked that question quite a lot, you know, about the other myths that I see. And I just, and that is probably the biggest misconception, I suppose, that I see in the fitness world, and one that I really would love to try to change.
Oh,
so thanks for giving me a platform to have a little vent.
Oh, my pleasure. What a way to wrap it up. Like, that's such an amazing rant / value bomb / everything on that. I couldn't agree with that message more. I literally have nothing to add to that.
Well, you're an ultra runner, so you know what it takes to literally just knuckle down and do the work. There ain't no way to run that race except just to keep on going.
Yeah, agreed. As I said, I learned it. I used to compete in fitness modeling, bodybuilding. That's I learned it, and I just took the skills and transferred it over into ultramarathons. Like, there's a lot of, you know, once Rock you summer, do it, yeah. Yeah, you do it in one thing, you can do it in all. Kim, I cannot thank you enough for your time, the value you put across on your platforms, the new podcast that you have, putting out value in even longer form content. I absolutely love it. Can you tell everybody listening, where is the best place for them to connect with you online, what social media platforms you use the most, and where they can look into your Sculpted Vegan program?
Well, our website is thesculptedvegan.com. So if you want to go check it out, we always have everything new happening on there. It's updated almost weekly, our website. That's where you'll find my podcast as well, which is called The Strong and Sculpted Podcast, available on all major podcast platforms. And also on Instagram, like, I respond to, well, I have my assistant who helps me, but like, I respond to every single direct message that I get on Instagram, and I get hundreds and hundreds every single day. So The Sculpted Vegan on Instagram is where, if you actually want to talk to me personally, that's where you'll find me. I'm in there every single day. But if you want to check out anything else to do with the program or check out some of the podcasts, Strong and Sculpted is the podcast. Sculpted Vegan is the website. But if you just Google me, you'll certainly find me. I'm all over the internet. I'm definitely not the shy and retiring type, Brian, as you can probably tell.
I could tell. And for everybody listening, I will link all of those up on the show notes on briankeemfitness.com. So you can go check out the program, go check out the pages, check out the podcast. Kim, thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for having me. This was absolutely awesome. And nice to hear a local voice as well.
Yeah, always good. Man, I could listen to that woman all day. She is absolutely awesome. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed recording it, be sure to take a screenshot of it and tag me and Kim, the Sculpted Vegan, on your Instagram page. And as always, if you're liking the podcast, be sure to subscribe. So if you're not subscribed, please hit that subscribe button please hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcast. So that's everything for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Catch you all next week.